This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning and this is The Breakfast Grill. Russia remains an enigma to many Malaysians, yet is a top 30 trading partner and a country that we have had diplomatic relations since the 1960s. Ties between the two countries have not always been smooth, but in recent times there is a shift towards warmer relations and growing bilateral trade. So to tell us how we can achieve this is His Excellency Neil Latipov, Russian Ambassador to Malaysia. Good morning. Now, COVID is never far from our minds, so let's start with the pandemic. Russia, of course, has also seen infection cases peak. Why don't you just give us an update on what the situation is like there?
You see, now we met the third wave third spike of COVID. Situation is improving, and of course we use our vaccine, and of course our authorities use some measures that are similar to MCO or SOP, which implemented in Malaysia, and of course we increase the vaccinations. Recently, we vaccinated about 24 million people. And among them, the 13 million was jabbed with two doses. And I really hope that the situation will improve soon.
But Your Excellency, what about Sputnik V? Because we're supposed to get 6.4 million doses and apparently it's been delayed. Do you know the reasons for the delay in terms of why we haven't received the vaccines? Is it our NPRA is not working fast enough, or is data not forthcoming so much from Moscow's Gamaleya Institute?
You see, I'm not in the position to say something about drug control authorities of Malaysia, how they are working. But you see, we supply all the documents to National Pharmaceutical Registration Agency at the end of January or beginning of March. They ask us about 400 questions. We try to answer them. And as I know, we have still 22 questions. But recently I read in newspapers that Ministry of Health, His Excellency Adhan Baba, said that there are only two questions remained. And I hope that our Gamaleya Institute will supply all the necessary materials soon. You see, be honest, for us, it's a little bit strange that it takes so long time for Malaysian Pharmaceutical Registration Agency, because our vaccine was registered in 68 countries, and now it produced in 7 or 8 countries. I don't remember exactly, but the biggest producer of our vaccine will be India. We have an agreement with India, and they will produce about 300 million doses this year. And of course, this issue, we are now waiting the response from Malaysian Pharmaceutical Registration Agency. And of course, simultaneously, we are working with World Health Organization, and we really hope that our vaccine will be registered with WHO. Soon, I would like to inform you that recently the delegation of World Health Organization visited Russia, and they checked all the industrial plants which are producing Sputnik V vaccine. And I think that there were no questions about it. As concerning production of Sputnik V vaccine here in Malaysia, this question is put on hold because it was not recognized by the Malaysian authorities.
You were quoted in an interview with a local newspaper that Russia has offered to collaborate in capacity building, technology sharing, and research and development of vaccines with us, with the intention of producing our own vaccines. So I'm just curious, Your Excellency, have you had any talks with the Ministry of Health or Ministry of Science and Technology on that front? Is this something that Russia will do? Will it share its intellectual property rights of Sputnik V? I mean, it is a form of vaccine diplomacy.
Yes, we... You see, vaccine diplomacy is well used words in different newspapers and in mass media. But you see, when we mentioned, for example, vaccine supplies from one country, newspapers called it cooperation and collaboration. But when they speak about vaccines from another country, they call it vaccine diplomacy. I think that we should use the same words as concerning vaccine supplies. And as concerning our vaccine, you see, be honest, we begin our talks with Malaysian specialists. I think it was October or November last year. And at that time, I honestly told to my partners from Ministry of Science and Technology. I met with the minister, His Excellency Minister Khairy. I met with the specialist and director of the National Biomedical Institute. And I honestly told at that time that Russia has a vaccine. We're ready to supply the vaccine, but you see the demand is increasing and we're ready to help you to build your own capacities in Malaysia. Because be honest, at that time, we didn't have enough industrial capacities to produce a lot of vaccines. Now we have these capacities. And you see, we have a very productive talks with Dow Pharma. We visited some facilities in Klang Valley. And you see, I think, and our specialist told me that if we began our work at the beginning of this year, it would take us 6 or 9 months to finish it. Mm. And if, for example, we began this work in January or February this year, Malaysia would have this his own vaccine in August or September. We lost this time, and now we're waiting for the response of Malaysia Pharmaceutical Registration Agency. But you see, simultaneously, we have a very good contact with Malaysian scientists, specialists. They propose us to conclude MOU on cooperation on this sphere. Mm. And we sent these proposals to Gamma Ray Institute, and now we are waiting for the response.
Okay, Your Excellency, let's shift to relations between our two countries. So our king received your credentials in January last year.
Yes, yes.
And then unfortunately, the country got hit by COVID-19. Yes. So we have been in and out of different MCOs with ever-changing SOPs. What have your conversations been like with the key ministries and even with our Prime Minister? Have you had a chance to meet up with them?
No, unfortunately, I have no chance to meet Prime Minister, but I really hope that I will have such a kind of chance. And I ask for a courtesy call to His Excellency Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin and waiting for his response. But at the same time, we understand that how busy he are now, especially in these times. And you see, be honest, I am patient. And
well, I would actually assume that it could have been done via Zoom or, you know, the video conferencing methods. But I'm also curious, what has been the feedback with regards to Russian business interests in this country? Have they found it challenging to operate with the ever-changing rules with regards to how we handle the pandemic? You know, because we do get such feedback from other ambassadors and even chambers of commerce.
You see, of course, our businessmen met the same difficulties as the businessmen from other countries, and we're trying to resolve them. For example, recently we have some letters from our car makers, from, for example, Kamaz, GAZ, AvtoVAZ. They have a partners here in Malaysia, and these partners stopped their work. And you see, we applied to the Ministry of International Trade and Industry, to most it some other figures in the Malaysian cabinet. And nevertheless, we are resolving these questions. And thanks to efforts which was taken by our Malaysian partners, our automobile car manufacturing plants was not stopped in Russia. We very appreciate the efforts which was taken by our Malaysian partners and hope that it's will be a very good base for further cooperation in different spheres.
But are you saying that at the moment, Russian business interests in this country, there have been no issues with the SOPs, that they are operating well?
No. I can't say that they're operating well because we have a lot of restrictions, mm. Yes. First of all, our businessmen can't visit Malaysia because we have a 42-week quarantine for businessmen. Of course, it's a very big obstacle for us. Of course, there are some procedures to eliminate these limits, but you see, it's a little bit difficult because it costs money and take time.
One issue that, however, involves our two countries is the tragedy of MH17. July 17 also marks the 7th anniversary of this tragedy, resulting in the deaths of 298 passengers and crew members. Now, after years of collecting evidence, a Dutch-led international joint investigation team last year said that the missile launcher used to hit the civilian plane came from a Russian army base. But yet, at the same time, in October 2020, Russia withdrew from these liability talks. Why?
Yes, you see, first of all, I would like to express my condolences and sympathy to those who lost their relatives, loved one in this catastrophe. You mentioned that. And you see, be honest, we're not take part in the joint investigation group. And I would like to say that we're not satisfied with this group politicized and biased positions. For us, it's very awkward that joint investigation team doesn't like to use materials, evidence which proposed by Russian side. For example, I would like to mention that, for example, when we presented the pictures from civil and military radars, and there were no launched missile from this place, which was supposed to be this place, the joint investigation team told us that, you see, there are no missiles on these pictures, but it doesn't mean that there will be there were no missile actually. You see, for us, it's a very strange position. We invited technical specialists from different countries to observe our evidence because joint investigation group don't like to take into consideration these evidences. But they refused, and that's why we... How this investigation can be observed if they don't took into consideration some very important evidences.
Your Excellency, I mean, at the end of the day, family members, they just want truth and justice to be found,
yes,
right?
Yes, we you also know, want justice and truth.
Okay, but it seems like it's at a deadlock at the moment, though.
Yes, it's some kind of deadlock at the moment because for us it's a very strange situation when joint investigation group will take into consideration all the evidence which was presented by Ukraine and don't like to take into consideration evidences which presented by Russian side. For example, we presented evidences that this rocket which shot the MH17 was produced in the middle of 80s, at that time Soviet period. And this, we show the evidences that this missile was sent to the, at that time, Ukraine Republic territory and never returned to the Russian territory. But you see, they refused to take into consideration these evidences. Can we say that its investigation is objective and not partial?
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is His Excellency Neil Latipov, Russian Ambassador to Malaysia. When we come back, bilateral trade, how can we grow it? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is His Excellency Neil Latipov, Russian Ambassador to Malaysia. Just before the break, we were talking about relations between our two countries and vaccine diplomacy. Now, Your Excellency, I think we're entering into this new paradigm of geopolitics because from the recent news flow, US-China tensions will continue despite a new president in the White House. Now, I ask this question because Malaysia, we're not a superpower by any definition. So it's important for us to remain friendly to all and not be swept into any conflict. But I'm just curious, what is Russia's role in this continued tension between the two? Because you're also a major superpower that can tip the balance of power.
Yes, you see, I would like to say that when I look through the different newspapers of Malaysia, they concentrated on the United States and China contradictions and their implication for Southeast Asia. You see, I would like to mention that Russia and ASEAN has gone through a long way during these three decades. This year, we marked the 30th anniversary of our relations and 25th anniversary of our partnership relations. And I would like to stress that Russia is fully integrated into regional institutional network centered about ASEAN. But I also think that speaking about Southeast Asia, we should not concentrate it only on United States and China contradictions in this region. I think that we should take into consideration that Russian role in this region. First, I would like to stress that from our point of view, Russia is an indispensable regional player with the military and technological ability to support the regional balance of power favorable to ASEAN centrality, and Russia's role must not be obscured to be debated over international dynamics shifting to the Indo-Pacific. I think that we have a lot of spheres to cooperate with ASEAN and especially with Malaysia.
But at the same time, how do you think ASEAN should manage the conflict in Myanmar? After all, Russia is supporting the junta, or at least that's what we see.
You see, I can't say that we openly supported military authorities of Myanmar. First of all, I would like to stress that Russia is providing implicit support to ASEAN guiding role in Myanmar. Mm. The Russian position is, from our point of view, is in tune with the provisions of five-point consensus, which was adopted through the collective efforts of our ASEAN partners. We support the provisions regarding the stopping of violence and call on all parties of the conflict to exercise of utmost restraint by all parties and the development of constructive dialogue among them aimed at stabilization and civil peace. We think that the position of Russia and ASEAN also coincide when it comes to the rejections of unilateral sanctions, the threats and any attempts to interfere in Myanmar's internal affairs. We share the general view on the destructive effects of such policies, which can only increasingly polarize society and aggravate internal differences. You see, I'm not a specialist in Myanmar, but you see, I can't agree with you that we are supporting the Myanmar position in our context. Of course, we have a context with military authorities of Myanmar, and in our context, within Myanmar authorities, we are promoting the position of ASEAN, which you can see that will be a very good basis for resolving this crisis and normalizing the situation in this country.
Another thing I want to talk about is, do you see Malaysia as then the gateway to ASEAN? Because if I'm not wrong, currently we are not your largest ASEAN trading partner.
Yes, you are right. Malaysia is not our largest trading partner in ASEAN. Our trade balance is about, counted amounted, $2.6 billion. And despite the pandemic, the trade balance remained stable last year, as well as in the first 6 months of this year. But of course, we are not satisfied with these figures and working on increasing our bilateral trade. And I completely agree with you. Position that Malaysia can be a hub for Russia for two ASEAN countries. When we begin our talks with Malaysian authorities on the vaccine production here, we start with the presumption that Malaysia is the hub. Malaysia is in the center of ASEAN countries. And we will explain that it takes about an hour and a half or maybe 2 hours to reach on the plane any country of ASEAN or Southeast Asia. And really, we hope that as Malaysia can play a role of so-called hub for Russia in ASEAN.
Your Excellency, the other thing that we keep seeing in the headlines with regards to Russia is cybersecurity. And yes, even this was an important point that was discussed during the Geneva summit, which took place between President Putin and, of course, President Biden. There are allegations that the cybersecurity are perpetrated by, is almost state-sponsored. Do you have anything to say on this matter?
Yes, you have mentioned that cybersecurity issue was discussed during the meeting which was held recently in Geneva between our president and President Biden. Cybersecurity issues was one of the main topics of this meeting, and we were satisfied that our presidents came to agreement to launch some kind of consultations on cybersecurity issues. But you see, soon, maybe in 2 or 3 weeks after these consultations, there was a call from President Biden that there's some accusation that there are another cyber attacks on the United States from Russia. And mass media reported that President Biden warned that Russia should stop these attacks. You see, in this connection, I would like to ask you, do you think that we are so stupid that after, for example, so important meeting during which we came to agreement on cybersecurity issues, we will launch any attacks on the United States? It's ridiculous. And another thing I would like to stress that, you see, there are a lot of accusations about cyber attacks and, from Russia to different countries, but you see, there are no evidence of these attacks. You see, we proposed to several countries, yes, if you have some questions about our policy in this sphere, yes, let's take a consultations on these issues. They said, no, we don't like to speak with you. You are guilty and you should should do something with this. From my point of view, we are in the middle of some kind of propaganda war, because it was usual, for example, for Cold War period, when United States and Soviet Union, they launch so-called propaganda war against each other. But from my point of view, after the Cold War, our partners in the West was so glad that they win, so-called win in this Cold War, that they can stop this propaganda and they should find another enemy in the world. They choose, of course, Russia, then they choose China, Iran, and I think that there will be another.
One final question, Your Excellency. What are your priorities during your time here in Malaysia? How can maybe Russia be less of an enigma to many Malaysians?
My friends and colleagues in the embassy told me a proverb in Malay. I don't remember how it sounds, but you see, the meaning in English is to know, to love each other, you should know each other. And from my point of view, the main issue to know each other. For example, before pandemic, about 70,000 Russian tourists visited Malaysia, and about 50,000 Malaysians visited Russia. I think it's not enough for us. We're not satisfied with these figures, and we're ready to take a lot of measures to increase the number of Malaysian tourists. Last year, we proposed to Malaysia government to came to agreement to abolish all visa procedures. In order you can, for example, you decided to go to Russia tomorrow and without any visa, you just through internet apply to some tourist company and freely can go to Russia. Of course, it will be very important from the point of view of business ties, from cultural ties and humanitarian ties. We make a draft of such kind of agreement and propose it to the Ministry of Interior, and now waiting for the response. You see, we understand that it will take some time because during pandemic, it's very hard to come to some agreement. But nevertheless, we hope that we can do it soon.
On that note, thank you for your time. Today on The Breakfast Grill was His Excellency Neil Latipov, Russian Ambassador to Malaysia. I'm Wong Xiaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.